At the age of 19, I was married to John Sakwe. John was a good man. We were happy together and had 4 children, 2 girls and 2 boys. We didn't have much money, so we all lived in one room in the house of my brother-in-law, Peter. He had 2 wives and many children. My husband died in March 2004. Peter told me that he would look after me. I didn't realize that he meant I had to be a wife to him.
The prison was hell, a tiny room, a slit for a window. You slept on a rough floor, toilet once a day, no tissue, no water to wash. Insects jumped from one person to another. I got a kidney infection and my body was covered with a rash. Some prisoners were very violent. They just wanted trouble, an excuse for a fight. The interrogation continued day after day.
One night, Peter came to my bedroom. My 2 daughters were in the bed with me. My son slept on the floor. Peter opened the door and I asked him what he wanted. He took my children off the bed. He held me down and I fought with him to get him off me. My children started crying. I struggled with him and he punched and beat me with his fists. He kept hitting me in my eyes and asking me whether I wanted to lose my eyes.
I was in prison for about 4 months. When I was released, I became more actively involved with the political organization, the Oromo Liberation Front. I'd seen how unjust the government could be, and I couldn't let it go. One day in August 2002, it was a nice sunny evening. I was running late to meet some people from the organization. I had some leaflets in my bag. As I got off the bus, suddenly I saw 2 policemen coming towards me. One of them called out to me and I stopped and pretended not to be panicking. They started to search my pockets and my bag. As soon as they found the leaflets, they took me to the police station. This time the detention was worse.
Sometimes he would beat and rape me every day or night. On one occasion, he wanted to rape me and I struggled with him. He hit me with a machete on my back. I screamed out, fell down in pain. He walked away and left me lying on the ground. My children came running over to help me. So I went to the village chief and I told him what was happening to me. The chief told me that this was our tradition, that a widow must become a wife to her dead husband's brother. I had to go back. I had nowhere else to go. And I couldn't leave my children.
Day after day, they interrogated me. After 4 or 5 months, a police officer came to the cell and called my name. He took me to his office. He started asking questions. I remember him. He had fair skin colour and big eyes. His eyebrows were thick. He smelt dirty, horrible. It was very hot. I think it was midday. But I didn't know what time it was. I didn't have a watch. He started touching me. I tried to move away. He said he could do whatever he wanted. He told me to stop pushing him away. He began to slap me. I struggled with him. He became more and more violent. He said even if I shouted, nobody could help me, so I better keep quiet. He hit my face and my nose started bleeding. I felt dizzy. He bit my breast. My breast also started to bleed. After that, I felt faint. I couldn't resist anymore. He did what he did. He raped me.
A friend of my husband, Mrs. Lizette, who traded things, she came to visit me. She saw my situation because I had swellings over my body and face and black eyes, and she promised to help me. A few weeks later, around 4 in the morning, she woke me up. She told me to pack a few things in a bag. I did as I was told. The children were still asleep. I was confused. I didn't want to leave my children, but I didn't want to stay with my brother-in-law. I thought that Mrs. Lizette was taking me to live with her and to help her trading.